Welcome to the Abracadabra Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. First of all, I know it's been a minute. It has been a minute, Abracadamits, and I will say this, if you guys have stuck along here but with me, thank you. Thank you for hanging around, because it has been a minute since we've put out an episode. I'm trying to get to these the best I can. I have just been super, super slammed with everything, which is good and bad at the same time. But I do want to say thank you guys so much for you know, staying a subscriber, follower, or whatever the hell you do, or wherever the hell you're listening. Thank you so much. I do want to say this. I've got a show date that I want to announce. April 8th, I'm going to be in Nashville, Tennessee at the City Winery with my good friend, funny friend Jessica Carter. You guys can get tickets at citywinery.com. I highly recommend you definitely want to come see this show, because we are going to get down. Speaking of getting down, this episode. Yes, this is a great episode I got for you guys, too. I got a very, very funny stand-up comedian. She's killing it right now. Matter of fact, that you guys can go check out her special right now on YouTube called Pointy Boys. And it's, you know, very funny watch. I've checked it out myself, so I approve. It's very funny. And I really enjoyed this episode talking with her. So if you guys will, Abracadamits, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with stand-up comedian Courtney Warner. All right, I'm excited. We got stand-up comedian Courtney Warner here on the Abracadam Podcast. How you doing, Courtney?
Oh, I'm doing great, Danny. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a minute. It has. But I see you are absolutely killing it out there, so that's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
But I tell you what, if you don't mind, Courtney, will you go ahead and introduce yourself a little more to the Abracadam listeners?
Yeah, definitely. Like Danny said, my name's Courtney Warner. I'm a comedian based out of Nashville, Tennessee. Doing comedy for almost 7 years. It'll be 7 years in January, which is crazy to think about. It's been almost all of my 20s. And yeah, just I do stand up predominantly. I also do sketch and improv, and done a couple of podcasts, satire writing, anything with comedy, and generally with writing is something I enjoy doing. So that's kind of what that's me.
Gosh, 7 years. Isn't that, that's crazy pants.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel so old.
Oh my God. Girl, I'm telling you, hey, today has been awful. It's been horrible. I've seen people who are older than me, but not by much. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is just today, my experience today. And they look so damn old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way I look this old.
Yeah.
I can't look this old.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, man, it's crazy. But yeah, 7 years in comedy years, that's like, 50.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an old lady. Yeah.
What it does to your body, at least.
Oh my God. I know. I think I have aged. We're aging like presidents out here.
You know, that's exactly how it is. But, you know, that's awesome, though, about you, Courtney, is you grind, girl.
Oh, you, well, thank you.
Any chance to stand on something and tell a joke, Courtney Warner's there. It doesn't matter. It could be a stage. It could be a rhinoceros. She's going to stand on it and tell her jokes. And you are everywhere. You are. What's so what keeps you motivated? What keeps that drive going?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's just the obsession with comedy. Like, it's the first thing I think of when I wake up. It's usually the last thing I think about it before I go to bed, whether good or bad feelings. It's just always like, it's always a factor in my life, you know, like, so I just don't know a life without it, I guess. And I don't want to.
You know, that is so, so true. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people want to say that, you know, practice makes perfect. And then you've heard people say, oh, no, perfect practice makes perfect. You know, but if you want to know the 100% truth about anything you want to do, there's one thing you have to be. This is what I believe. You have to be obsessed.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to be head over in heels in love with, like, you have to be stalker. You have to be.
You have to.
And it's in order to be able to get good and eventually to become a master of your craft, you know, and I tell people it's like I remember, in my early 20s, that's where, I was obsessed with magic, just obsessed with it. And any chance I got, if somebody didn't talk to me for 5 seconds, I had a deck of cards in the corner, or any chance I had to learn something, I was obsessed with it. And that's what it takes. So, that's what it takes. You have to be obsessed. Now you, but let's do this because, and I don't even think I know this. I just remember, I can't even remember exactly the first time I met you.
Same.
I think it was that some shit show in Kentucky.
It had to have been probably maybe Padu something in Paducah, I'm sure.
Yeah, something up there. But anyways, the let's hear Courtney Warner's journey. What tell me, what got you? Where did the obsession start?
Oh man, so I moved to Nashville fresh out of college. I was 21 and wanted to be a musician. I played guitar all throughout high school and through college and thought I was going to be a studio musician or session musician and play other people's music and like travel and do that. I just wanted to kind of be a hired gun, that was my goal. And then I moved here, had a day job, tried to make that happen, did not enjoy it like I thought I would enjoy it. I don't really play a lot of music that much anymore. It's mostly just for myself if I do play. And then I just kind of felt aimless. I mean, yeah, at the age of 21, I'm like, my life is over. I'm like, what am I doing? I can't even, I'm like 21, 22. And then I there were a series of things that got me into comedy. Like I've always enjoyed comedy. I had been told like in college and stuff that I was funny. I never really thought of myself like that though, because that just wasn't what that really just wasn't something that I like prioritized, but my family, most of my family is really funny. Like we come from kind of a funny group of just people. My grandma was really funny, my mom, my dad, and all of them. So always jokes kind of going around. So I always enjoyed it, but I was raised super religious, so we didn't get to watch a lot of comedy in general. So I don't even know how we even had a sense of humor, to be honest. But yeah, and then I figuring out what I wanted to do at like 22 years old, and then I don't know. It just kind of all the pieces fell together. I remember a couple of different like snapshots of things that happened where like I was watching the American version of The Office and I was like, I don't even know what episode or what joke, but I was like, that's funny. Why is that funny? And then I wanted to understand like how to make something funny and like why was that scene funny, and then yeah, I just was like, I'm just gonna go try stand up and try comedy writing. I got into stand up because I wanted to be a comedy writer. I used to say that I wanted to write for like late night or like SNL. I still would love to. If the opportunity ever came, I would love to do it. But then I got into stand up, did it for the first time, and that was like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. Like, what I mean? It was just that moment of like, this is what it was. All music almost was that. They had elements there that I enjoyed, but stand up, that was it,
Now,
And
where
yeah.
was your first? Where was your first? I guess open mic. Do you remember?
I did Madonna's in East Nashville. It's no longer event. Well, it used to be Madonna's, and then it got turned into like a Cinco de Mayo or something like that. So unfortunately, they were so good to all of us comedians. They let us do all sorts of shows there, and so that was I did stand up there. A bunch of my coworkers from my day job came. I don't think they expected much. I also didn't either. It went all right. I shouldn't have told anybody to come. Honestly, I don't know why I did that.
You know what's so funny? This is the other thing that people don't. Okay, here's the thing. If you guys have any friends, it's like, hey, come see me tonight at this.
Right.
Just don't go because
Don't.
they're not going to be good, and it's going to be a few years before they're good. But this is, and here's the thing. And if you do go, please do not judge them 5 years from
Oh
now.
my God, I know. Yeah, and it could get real. And also, like, you don't want to burn out your friends early on because they're gonna stop coming. It's like, no, I'm really good now, or I'm at least passable.
Exactly. I remember like back in the day I did that, and I every now and then, like now when I bumped into these people and they're like, oh, hey, still doing the, I'm like, yeah, but dude, I promise it's nothing like it's I'm good now. It's different,
Yeah.
but
Oh, for sure.
I mean that, but it also sucks because that's the way it works, because especially if you do like these bringer shows and stuff like at comedy clubs, they you need to bring some people you know, and you know, gosh, so it's kind of a, it's a shitty situation. It is.
It is. And it's like, it's the only, I feel like it is one of, maybe there are other art forms where you have to get, you can only, you only, you have to fail in public to be good at it. So you constantly have to get the shit beat out of you. Can we, sorry, can we swear on here?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Fuck no, Courtney.
You have to get like, you have to get like your ass handed to you every night in order for to get better. And that's, it's tough. I mean, as you know, we know this, but also like starting out, you don't necessarily think it's going to be like that, you know,
No.
at all.
People, they think that, you know, I'm gonna go up there and say my stuff and they're gonna love me, you know, and you're just like, no.
Oh,
No,
yeah.
I don't know. As I've gotten older, I just kind of ignore it because it happens so much. But you know, probably one of the annoying things is you are around that one person, or you meet that person who thinks they're funny, and they've picked up enough family, they've watched enough Family Guy to where they can make some type of little joke amongst their friends, you know, and it seems like they go a little extra when they're around you. You
Oh
know
my
what I
God,
mean? Though that person. So, and I'm just kind of like, gosh, man, you have no clue how hard this shit is, which, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, I know. I was just talking to a friend of ours, Jessica Carter, the other night, and just
My girl.
we love Jessica. It's her birthday today, this the 16th. We're gonna go out and celebrate her a little bit later today. For the listeners, this is very interesting for them to hear about. I'm sure you all care. But we were talking the other day about how, I think it was like Wednesday or whatever, we were talking about how frustrating it is when people go to open mics, take a spot from another comic because it's a random draw or whatever, and they just go up there and bullshit. They don't have any jokes, they just talk through whatever, and it's terrible, and it wastes everyone's time. It takes a spot away from another comic who would could have used that spot. Oh, and it just happens a lot, and it's very annoying.
That's, I mean, I could. Now, I don't go to open mics hardly ever anymore. Not because I'm too good. A lot of times what I'll do, Courtney, is like when I write new shit, I squeeze it in between my old shit on my gigs, you know. And oh my God, I had this happen. And please, okay, you know of this too, and I'm going to talk about it. And I'm praying to the comedy gods, please don't let this be the case. Please don't let this be the case. Okay, like. Okay, last weekend I was doing a corporate show, and on the way down there, you know, Antoinette, she's really big into Bigfoot and ghosts and all that shit. Well, there's a museum for Bigfoot in Georgia, you know, in like nowhere, Georgia. So we stopped there, and I saw that inside this museum, in a glass case, they have a Bigfoot turd.
Oh,
Oh
Jesus.
my God, yes.
Good
And
luck.
it's like 5 feet long. It is ginormous. And the first thing I see comedy gold. I'm
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm talking about this shit tonight. You
Oh,
know
yeah.
what I mean?
Literally the shit.
So on the way, the rest of the way down there, I've got this whole bit in my head, bam. And I'm like, I'm doing this tonight. Tonight, this is happening. So I get on the show, I do it, I tell the bit, and it kills. Now you got to know how wonderful that is, the first time ever saying it, boom. But you also know that curse, that like, now that it killed the first time I told it, there's a possibility it'll never ever work again.
I know. Oh my God.
So I'm hoping, please God, don't let this, comedy gods, please don't
Please. Yeah.
let this
Oops. Oh shit. Sorry. Sorry. Cut that out. I accidentally turned on my paper shredder. Sorry about
The
that.
paper shred. Oh, yeah. Are you sure it's a shredder? Are you getting rid of evidence? What are we doing over here?
Right, exactly.
The but no, anyways, so you know, it's stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm not used to that. I'm used to I have to I'll write one and then I have to work it out. At least I have to tell it like three times before it really grows legs and does anything, you know. And but yeah, that one just flowed and I was like, oh shit, I hope it works. I hope that, you know what I mean.
I know. Oh, I yes, 100% understand that. Oh my God. Yeah, and then like, yeah, just like, oh, you have something fun off the cuff that you say or whatever, and then it crushes, and it's just like, I have this problem where either I just forget to record it, so I'm like, what did I say? You know what I mean? And I had that a few weeks ago at a show, and I didn't think to record it because I kind of was like caught up talking to some other comics, and they're like, oh, and Courtney Warner, and so like I was like, whatever, I'm doing like 8 minutes. It's like in a bar show, not a big deal. Ends up going amazing, and I'm like, why did I just have someone just film some of it? Because it went so well, and I don't know, I don't remember my set list. I don't remember because I just went up and just said my jokes, and I don't remember it, and it sucks. So I know you've been there too, I'm sure.
Oh, totally, totally. But now, constantly, that's all I do now is film now.
Yeah.
I got so sick of that right there. I'm like, you know what? Why did I not film that? Why
Yeah.
did I not film this? Why did, you know, got so sick of it. I was like, screw it. I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing. I'm filming that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those frustrations. I'm just like, no. But the open mics, now I tell you, the last open mic that I went to, oh my God, this almost went bad because I had a show coming up and I had three new bits that I had in my head and I had written down, but I needed to vocalize. I needed to, you know, say, you know what I mean? So I signed up for the open mic, got on there, and you know, I'm this old turd, you know what I mean? It's all these young bucks. And I show up and I'm thinking, all right, I'm just gonna, because I wasn't doing any magic, nothing. I'm just going to tell jokes because I wanted to get them out, work them out. You know, I wanted a chance to suck.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
absolutely.
And the person hosting this mic gets up there and goes, oh yeah, and we have a real treat tonight. We got Danny Whitson's going to be closing out the show for us.
Oh
And
no.
I
Don't say that.
was like, no, this is new shit. This is not
Yeah.
gonna be good, you
Oh,
know? No.
yeah.
So it turned out to be okay, but I had to do some stuff that I wasn't planning on doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just to make
So
sure it goes okay. Yeah.
yeah, I think the next open mic I'm gonna go to like a town, you know, just somewhere else, somewhere away. You know what I
I get
mean?
that. Oh,
Just show
yeah.
up and, who's this old piece of shit? Yeah, I don't know. I just want to try some, just try my hand at comedy. You know? So, but yeah, that was interesting. But no, luckily though, a lot of times, you know, and you can do that a lot on paid gigs. You know, you could take that one bit and, you know, squeeze it in between the bread and butter ones, you know, the ones
Oh, for
that work.
sure. And
So.
it's and you get them. I think sometimes you get a more honest response because if people are already into you, they're gonna laugh at the stuff you know that works. So let's just see what they actually think of this, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but that's what I tend to do a lot. So you said you guys are going out, you and Jessica, tonight?
Yeah. There's a bunch of us comics here in Nashville. We're gonna go out for her birthday, in a little bit, and we're just excited to celebrate her. It's yeah, I'm stoked.
We got a show coming up at January 7th at Scruffy
Nice.
City Hall in Knoxville, which I'm totally looking forward to. It's going to be a blast.
Nice. Oh, she told me about that. It's at the theater, right?
Yeah, we that no that's at Scruff. You know what, this is Scruffy is a it's almost kind of set up like a black box theater.
Okay.
We were at the Wallace Theater a few months back and that was a great show. So yeah, but I love working with Jessica. She's such a solid comic.
I agreed.
You know, and hell, I gotta maybe need to start looking with Courtney too, man. Me and you need to work some together. It's been so long. It's been
I
forever.
know. It's been so long. What was I don't even remember the last time we worked together.
I think it was that brewery show.
Oh, Derek with Derek Zoo, right?
Yes,
Oh
with
my
Derek.
God. Yeah. And Sparta. Holy
Yes.
shit. Yeah. That
That's
was a
pretty nice.
long time ago.
That
Oh
was
my
a long time
goodness.
ago. Well, let's do this since, you know, we're talking about stuff because you just recently did your I guess comedy album recording. How did it
Yeah.
go?
It went great. It was really fun. It was a lot of learning experience. You know, it's my first time doing anything like that. We got video and also the audio of it. And just that whole process, like I it was it we just ra I or I, just, I should say I just finished up my like last little bit of everything. Like everything's out on Spotify and Apple Music now, and that came out on Wednesday. And so it's been about 14 months from like when I was like, oh, I'm going to do this to like it being done now. So it took up a good chunk of my life for a while. And yeah, it was just it overwhelming experience, but I'm really glad that I did it. Like, it's fun, but also it was a lot of hard work. Like, I don't want to pretend that wasn't like a ton of hard work and dedication to it, you know, that I want to do again at some point, but I need to like chill for a little bit before I do another one, because it is just like, I'm sure people do realize how much work it is, but I just didn't realize like what was all involved with it. So yeah, but it's out and I'm happy.
See, I could only imagine, and I will totally, totally check that out. But I know there's always a lot more work that goes into it than what you first think, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing a, now this sounds crazy. Most people can't even imagine how this will even work, but I'm actually working on a comedy magic album.
Oh, that's so cool.
And
that's awesome.
And people, you know, it's going to have my stand up. It's going to mm-hmm. have interactive magic that listeners can do when you listen to it, you know?
That's real. Oh, dude, that's going to be awesome. That's like next level.
Well, I'm trying. And yeah. It's and also I've got a few comedy sketches that.
Yeah.
Remember the old school Adam Sandler? They're all going to laugh at you. Remember?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know how they did the sketches, mm-hmm. you know, the audio sketches. I've got a couple of those that I've written, you know, over the years that I'm going to throw those in there. But that's probably one of the toughest things to do, because I've got to get some, you know, voice actors to help me out with that one. So, but, working on that, and, that's on the back. I mean, it's not on the back burner. It's just sitting on the shelf waiting for me to, you know, start it, because, you know, I mean, it's just doing this podcast. It kicks my ass.
I get it. Know? Oh yeah. It's, even just like leaving the house to do a show, just like takes it out of you for 3 days, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. And right now is like a real busy time of the year for me. And it's just been like, I was supposed to put an episode out the other weekend, which I was mm-hmm. like, well, we're going to have to skip this weekend and get back with next, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyways, like, you know, I'm still doing it. You keep your hands busy. That's kind of like mm-hmm. what you got to do in show business these days. So,
oh, for sure.
You know, it's not, unfortunately, it's not good enough just to be good. You got to do all this other crap.
And you can't just do one thing. You have to be able to do all of it. You have to podcast and stand up and sketch writing and hosting and Instagram reels and all of that. It's a lot, and you're never done working, you know.
God, I bitch and moan about that, Courtney. Mm-hmm. Is that the only thing I really want to do is I want to make people smile, and I want to stand on stage, and I don't want to be a video person. I don't want to be a TikTok person. I don't want to be any of that. You know, mm-hmm. it's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
But it sucks, because it seems like that's what we have to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's just the way that the culture is shifting for us, unfortunately. And that's, it sucks. It's like that. Is knowing how to edit a reel going to make me funnier? You know what I mean? Like there's some of the stuff that you have, the admin-y stuff we have to do. Cause like, I feel like, you know, 95% of what we do as a comedian, it's all other work. It's never like, it's like 5% you're up there doing your jokes, or you're doing whatever you want to do, and everything else is like surrounding it that you have to do. And it's a real pain in the ass, you know?
I get real, you know, I can get real bitchy and old manny about it, you know, I can, mm-hmm. but I try not to. And that's something else that, you know, 2023, my goal is even though my heart is not in it, I'm just going to be honest with you. My heart is not in making a video.
Mm-hmm.
My heart is not in telling you, saying some. And have you ever like, okay, do you see this? Because I do. And I think it's, and we're both attention whores. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
But it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
When you get on TikTok and you see all these people mm-hmm. doing this dumb, ridiculous shit just uh-huh. to get attention.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like at least ours, well, I don't want to speak on behalf of other content creators, but I feel like at least we have a little bit more of a goal outside of just being popular. Like, I don't know, like perhaps those people want to monetize it. That's great. You know, but a lot of times it's just, they're not even thinking that far ahead. I feel like at least some of the folks I've met, they're like, oh, I just want to do this so I can like get views. And it's like, but then what, you know?
There's comedy there. There's mm-hmm. totally comedy there, because like the other day I was at Aldi and the freaking cashier's like, I've got 14,000 followers on TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got 300.
Yeah, right. I think I have 15.
So, I mean, you know, dude, I'm just kind of like, it's almost, there's something stupid and
Yeah.
ridiculous and dumb and lame. And I know I'm saying all this stuff, but there's people, here's the other thing. There's people on TikTok, man. This is another thing that sucks, is like they've done comedy for 4 months and they've
Yeah.
got 3 million followers, and now they're selling out comedy clubs.
Oh, yeah. See that all the time. Either it's the most frustrating thing because it's like, man, that is so smart to do that. But it's like, I saw a quote recently and it was related to a couple of other comics where it's like you have either comedians have something either you have to either have something to sell or you know how to sell it. You know, and generally great comedians have both, but some comedians only have one or the other. Like, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of the newer wave of like TikTok and Instagram people coming in, they know how to sell it, but they don't have anything there, you know, yet or
You do
right
have
now.
those. The majority of them are that. The
Yeah.
majority of them are, you know, they've never paid their due. You know what I mean? They've never, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The majority of them, you know, they threw on a wig and they did some dumb shit and edited it, and then boom, now they're famous, you know?
Yeah.
But there is a handful of comics out there. I do know some personal comics that were comedians first,
Yeah, me too.
and then they found a way to crack TikTok and it built them a following and made the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
There's a few of
kudos to
them.
them.
For
Kudos to
real.
them. Because I see them working, you know, their butts off, you know. But it just sucks because that seems like that is. That either you get tucking under somebody who is famous already under their wing,
Right.
or you have to figure out a way on one of the platforms to become famous.
Right. And that's what's really hard because it's like both are just incredible. The odds of either one happening are incredibly slim, no matter which way you look at it, you
You know,
know?
this was funny, Courtney. This is not funny, but it is funny. It's depressing, but it's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say the comedians' names because they are very good comics. But I was doing a show and I had they were on, and a lot of times when people ask, you know, when they see somebody working full time, a full time entertainer, you know, they, oh man, so tell me what's it like? Yeah, blah 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 blah. Tell me your stories.
Right.
And you know, I didn't have the heart to tell them. That you know, well, you know, you stay gone all the weekends. You're gone a lot. You have to do shows that you don't want to do because you're paying your bills, and more than likely, you're just going to be a road comic the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're not going to be famous. You're not
Yeah.
going to be. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to have your own
Right.
sitcom,
Right.
and you're probably going to die alone in a hotel.
Yeah. That too.
So I mean, it's I didn't tell him that part, but I was like, oh yeah, man, yeah, it's, you know, it's not bad, you know,
Right, of course.
but that's the shit no one tells you
Yeah.
when
Yeah.
you start that. You're like, well, you know, you really do have to be lucky
Yeah.
to, you know, hit that level of success. You know, there's just luck, you know, just
Right.
luck.
Yeah. It kind of does boil down to that because you could have everything in your favor and it just not work, you know?
And I mean, there's like, you know, you look at the whole Bill Hicks story. I was, you know, that what a, you know, he finally got on Letterman and finally, and then, you know, he found out that they weren't going to air it. And
Yeah.
then until he, you know, is dying of cancer, you know, too
Right.
late, you know. I mean, those kind of things happen all the time, though. There's been a plenty of times, you know, television shows that I thought I was going to get on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, so it that just happens all the time. And then it also sucks whenever you do see people in your hometown are kind of like, so you're still doing the comedy thing, are you?
Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, so that's always fun. Okay, well,
Oh,
I don't want
yeah.
to turn this into a therapy session about me, Courtney Warner, but but okay, well, let's hear talk about the special with you know, the album that you
Yeah.
just did, and what is it called again?
Pointy Boys.
Pointy Boys. Can you tell us what Pointy Boys is?
You're gonna have to listen to it or watch it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, no,
No,
you can't
nothing's for free here,
do
except they're both
that.
for
Nothing's
free on Spotify and YouTube, but metaphorically.
I'm going to check that out. I am. I'm totally going to check it out. Now, are you going to be putting anything up on YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah, it's already out on YouTube. It's been on YouTube for about a month, and then the audio, we decided to do that like a month later, mainly because I'm signed to a small record label, and so that came a little bit later in the game. So we decided just to set release it in two separate spots, because we did the video around Thanksgiving, and then the audio right before Christmas and Hanukkah and all that stuff. So people who are traveling, doing family stuff, they'll just kind of blasting them twice with like, hey, this is out there. If you don't want to deal with your family drama, listen to me talk about mine,
Now that's cool. I didn't know that. So a record label picked it up.
Yeah, it's a small label here in Nashville, and it's run by one of my dear friends. I've known him for about 8, 9 years now at this point, him and his wife. And he was in a pretty successful band, or still is in a successful band that was like pretty popular in the 2000s. And then so I think they put all their music out through that label now, and then they can kind of help other newer artists. And so I'm their first comedy first person first comedian signed to them. So I'm
That
excited.
is badass. Hell
Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay, so your situation's a little different now, being okay, you are an Asian comic, but
Yes.
we are adopted, correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, like, you see a lot of Asian comics, and I'm not just saying, not a lot, but I mean, you do see some of they talk about the culture, their Asian
Right.
parents, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Which I think is hilarious, but you kind of got a different perspective, correct? I mean,
Yeah.
your adopted parents are white.
Yeah, they're very white, very Midwestern, very Christian, very conservative. Yeah, so I talk a good deal about them on the, like, or just like my upbringing, on the album a lot too. But it is weird, because I'll do shows where I mean, I think every comic feels like this, but I don't feel like I really fit in anywhere that would be like a good way to categorize what I talk about or my family, besides just whatever isn't going on in my life, because I've not really met that many other, especially not in the South, many other Asian comedians in the South, Asian women, and also not really no one else is adopted, that I'm aware of. I've met one other comic, and he's fantastic. His name's John DeToy, from South Dakota, and he lives here now, and he's adopted as well. So we talk about that. So it was kind of interesting seeing someone who has kind of similar material, because he's Asian, adopted into a white family, but yet it's like just how different comics' brains work, because I don't get that perspective of seeing someone else have a similar joke as me. You know what I mean? Like, ever. So that was interesting. But yeah, generally speaking, I feel like I kind of stick out a little bit more, and I don't quite fit. Clearly, I'm obviously not white, and I'm not from an Asian family. So,
Being an Asian female comic is the adopted Asian.
Yeah.
That's really big difference. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
think I think you're the only one.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
the only one.
I think so too. I think so too. 'Cause I know of a couple of adopted Asian male comics, some that are famous, and some that are and then some, obviously John, who I know here in Nashville. And so, but like women, you don't hear about as much, or if they're out there, I've not seen them. So
Isn't Jamie Ward, isn't he adopted too?
I think so. And I want to say Joel Kim Booster, I think, is adopted. I think he
People
is.
love those Asian babies. White people love the hell out of Asian
They
babies.
do. They do. I mean, we are very cute as
They are super
babies.
cute.
They're very cute babies. White babies are not that cute.
No.
Very
The
veiny.
Asian babies are the cutest thing. I
Yeah.
mean, they're like they're the greatest. Absolutely the
Yeah.
greatest.
I look at old photos of myself when I was like a toddler, and I'm like, I look like a doll. Like, I look like a little, just a like, especially the way that my parents dressed me up in all these dresses and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why someone would want one. That's fair.
I mean, I've got like, my kids are a part Filipino, so
Yeah.
the Asians there. So, yes, we love the Asian babies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Easy to adopt. Easy to adopt.
Yeah, just across the board. They're throwing them over the border. It's just so
You
easy to just to grab
know,
one.
it's always funny. It's like you never see
No one ever adopts white babies. No other race ever adopts white
Right.
babies.
I know. I thought it, at one point in time when I was like, oh, maybe I want kids. I don't want kids, but I was like, maybe I'll adopt a white baby, you know? And
You're totally
but
screwed if you're a redheaded white baby. I'm just telling you, okay?
yeah.
Ginger kids, no one wants you. I'm sorry, but you're never getting adopted. That whole bullshit with Annie, that's actually true,
Yeah.
you know.
She was left behind.
She
Yeah.
was nobody wants the redheaded kids. Nobody wants us. Okay. And what so you have to have a real interesting perspective, you know, coming out of a real conservative home, a white home. How much do you know though about your culture though, about your Asian culture? And is it Chinese?
Korean.
Korean. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm horrible. I'm sorry. But all right, Korean.
We'll just play that one clip, and that's gonna make you really famous, as you'll be canceled. That's how we do it. Oh, I'm
That's
always
right.
looking for ways.
When things happen for Danny, play that back. Oh,
Yes.
you piece of shit.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
stop Asian hate.
You spelled my name wrong on the email, like I from the Zoom invite, and then yeah, okay. No, I'm Korean. I don't think I have to specify South Korean, but sometimes people are like, "Well, which one?" And I'm like, "Well, what fucking which one do you think I'm from?" People are stupid. Anyway, they're all dumbasses out there. But yeah, I don't know a ton about Korea. I've learned more as an adult. Like it was always kind of it was something that was kind of vaguely available for me to ask about, but it just never really came up. As a kid, so I just like I didn't really I couldn't really conceptualize like what that meant, and I knew that I didn't look like my parents. I figured that out, you know. But yeah, as the older I've gotten, especially like just meeting other Asian people, and kind of just being able to find communities here in Nashville and stuff, very rather small communities, but people that I can kind of talk to and get a little more context for certain things, you know. And I like to do, you know, it's nature versus nurture is a great argument. And there are some things I think about myself that I'm like, I wonder how much is what are, you know, based on just what I've learned about the culture and like, you know, different dietary things, like, you know, all that stuff. I just find interesting. I kind of can experiment on myself a little bit with that.
You know, I'm a firm believer in the nature versus nurture thing. When you break down and look at genetics,
Yeah.
you know, I think like we all, I think at least I do. I know several people who, like, I've got family members that I'm like, literally, you are just like your mother. You have just, and it's not so much that they are a bad person or whatever, but I think like we all carry those, we all got the shitty genes. And if the environment, if we put ourselves in that same environment, we're going to be like that part. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Like I feel like my family, my extended family, all of them are very like kind of brash, kind of aggressive individuals, or just like very loud, you know. And I don't think of myself, I can be loud, I guess, but like, you know, I don't think of myself as that. I've always been a little more reserved, like when I was a kid and stuff. And I liked reading over, really no one else in my family likes to read all that much, like, you know, just different things like that. And then just kind of seeing like how culturally, how Asian cultures are a little more reserved, a little, you know, whatever. I find that kind of interesting. That also could chalk up to a personality thing too. Just like you can't, you know,
Yeah,
fundamentally
but
personality, but
still, though, that's really, you know, I mean, that's, you know, really on the money, you know. And I think, now, have you met any of your Korean family cousins or any?
No, I don't know anything about my background. It was a closed adoption, so I don't really have any. I suppose I could do a 23andMe, but also I've thought about it, but I don't know if I'm gonna want to know the answer. You know, I just don't. Sometimes I it's some, maybe someday I will. Whenever HBO wants to make a documentary about me, absolutely, let's get into it.
Hell
A
yeah.
docuseries, you know. But I don't. But right now, I'm just like it's intriguing, but also I don't. I don't know. I guess I've almost gotten too comfortable just like ha not knowing, where knowing could probably open up a lot of can of worms emotionally for me that I'm not quite
Absolutely.
ready for right now, you know.
You know, I got a similar situation like with my grandfather. I never knew him. And he was kind of a piece of shit because he didn't want anything to do with my mom. And It was, of course, he had been dead and long gone, you know, the time I came around, as far as I know. Well, I think he died like in early 90s, so I was alive. But anyways, he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I somehow, somebody, my son was doing the 23andMe or one of those things, and he found a picture of my grandfather. And it was interesting, you know, because, I mean, he was a good-looking dude, you know. It was some type of military pick. And I could see, there's just things I could see of my brother and all of us looking at him. So it was really interesting to see. Now, the thing that I kind of, that kind of like made me want to do some Facebook stalking here and there and trying to find some, hey, you know, I've got cousins that I've never met, or did he have any more kids other than my mom? You know, I don't really know. You know what I mean? But there's also things, you know, that, you know, I realize like now, you know, the way my mom was the way she was is because of the bullshit she had, you know what I mean? Not knowing her dad. So, but yeah, I totally get you that I on the whole emotional thing. You don't know. You don't know if the shit that you do want to know. And I mean, because, you know, like, you know, hell, Courtney may like find something out and it changes her and she becomes like this total asshole. And, you know, like, what? You know, you were so sweet and great and funny until you found out that, you know, Kim Jong-un is your uncle. Yeah, I don't know.
You
But,
know, my Joker origin story, that's gonna be on
yeah.
planet.
We don't want you to know. Don't tell her. Well, that's awesome. But let's do this. Okay, because we have been talking, and this is one of those podcast conversations that we could just talk.
Oh, for sure.
You know, freaking forever. But and first of all, I want to say this. All right, for the listeners, guys, if you have not heard Courtney, had a chance to see Courtney, please do, because one thing Courtney has that you cannot teach on stage, and I'm gonna say it right now, she has a charm. Okay,
Oh,
and she
thank
has a contagious smile. When she smiles, it's contagious. So it's like COVID, but it doesn't kill you. So it's good. There we go. But no, let's do this, Miss Courtney Warner. I want to hear a hell gig story.
Oh man. And I mean, a lot of them I've tried to black out of my brain. So I had to like think about I have a more recent one. It happened in this past year. It was like, I want to say in April, and it was a show in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's most of my life, most of the most miserable things in my life have happened in Kentucky for some reason, and most revolve around comedy. Oh, I just remembered another really bad show in Murray, Kentucky, but that's not the one we're talking about today. Bowling Green, Kentucky, in like April, and it was me and a handful of other Nashville comics that got to go up there and do this show. So there really weren't any other Bowling Green comics on the show except for the host. And it's like in this brewery, which brewery shows are fun, but it's really spread out and wide. And so, and all the chairs were kind of like it should have been structurally, it should have been pushed up farther. So, you know, people would sit in the seats up front. But so that was already kind of tough. And then just the lineup and the way it went was just so ridiculous, where there were really good comics on there and there were some that weren't so great. And I watched some of the best bombs of their lives as that happened. Then I go up and try and I they ha I'm going last. They say headlining, but it's just going last on a showcase. And I'm like, God damn it, why do I have to fucking go last? And then go last, try to make it work. I don't even think I do material. I think I just like talk at them and like crowd work and stuff and like, you know what I mean? And I don't really remember what I did other than it was just like it. I think I was up there for like 10 minutes, but it felt like 50. It was just one of those like they don't give a fuck because the vibe was already messed up from before, and the comics who tried to salvage it could not save it. And then they had to hear just really insane things from these other people. And there was, oh my God, because also what was weird is there was like a bunch of kids there. Some mom brought a bunch of like kids, like they were teenagers, but still they were like freshmen in high school, like children, like, you know, and they were all there in the back and we were all trying to do our jokes. And then it's like we were very acutely aware there's kids watching, and like the mom who just brought all these kids to a comedy show knowing it what it was like, what's wrong? I was gonna call CPS on stage. Like I was ready to just like, let's do this right now, motherfucker. Why did you bring 10 kids in here? Like it's a Chuck E. Cheese or something. Like it was just so strange to me. And with all of us comics, we're just like, what are we, why? Like, what? And so we were doing our jokes, and then and nobody laughed. I mean, nobody enjoyed it. The kids did not understand what we were talking about because, again, they're like 13, 14 years old. The mom looked mad. It's like, this is your fault. You bought tickets to come here. You brought all these kids in here. And then there was like no one else in the audience. So it was just like a bunch of kids and a mom, like in the back, like at the back table. Then like a few other, like some of the comics brought their boyfriends and girlfriends and they had to sit and watch it. And that was, so nobody was there. And it was just off the rails from the beginning. And then what was upsetting, and you can also decide if you want to cut this part out because it is strange. And I'll just say it and I'll let you decide what you want to do with it. I'm fine with it. But after the show, kind of chatting amongst ourselves and then talking to some of like the two people that came to watch us. And then the kids come up and this one kid comes up to me and he was like, "Hey, I think my dad knows you." And I'm like, what are you? And he was just like, "Oh, my dad's a photographer. He messaged you asking if he could take your photo." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I did get a message from a dude asking me if he could take my picture." And I was like, "Oh God," like a week or so ago. Very strange. And he is a photographer, but it was just like out of the blue. I'm like, why does some grown man want to take my photo? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a weird thing. So I kind of ignored the message. He again seems like a nice enough guy, but it was weird. But then, so that was his son. His son came up to me and was talking to me, and I was trying to be nice to this kid. I'm like, "Oh, you're in high school. What do you like to do in high school?" Whatever, thinking like, I don't know what, I'm like almost 20 years older than this kid. You know what I mean? And then he just starts hitting on me. And it's really, and I didn't register what this kid was doing until I was like, oh my God, ew. Like, you know what I mean? And I look over at my other friend, MK Gannon, who's on, you gotta get her on this podcast because she has some war stories too. She was looking over at her and one of the other comics was kind of like, cornered her and was being kind of weird to her. So we were both trapped she was like, "I was trying to get over and try to save you from that kid." Meanwhile, she was cornered by this other guy talking to her, talking about how symmetrical her face was or whatever, like just some weird shit. Very weird night. And then, yeah, once I just was thoroughly, I think it's such a bad show for me because I was just thoroughly grossed out that this kid was talking to me that way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I am like 16 years older than you. I'm probably closer in age to your dad.
First of all, that's kind of creepy that the dude, like, he messaged you to take your pictures. Okay, fine.
Right.
He comes to your show and then sends his kid over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little stalkerish, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess to clarify, it was the kid's mom. So the mom and the dad are separated.
Oh, okay.
And so, but he apparently told his son about me or saw the poster with me on there. So the kid knew who I was, which I think is weird. So I'm like, no child under the age of 18 should have a computer. I don't know. I am becoming an old lady. I'll be 30 in a few months. So I'm very old and I just don't have the patience for children at all. And it was just so uncomfortable. And I just felt really disgusting. And I know I didn't do anything wrong. I was just like trying to be nice to this kid. You try to be nice to people after shows if they come up to you. You know, I also had merch and stuff. So I was like trying to like, you know, like I be nice about it. But also I'm just like, I kind of felt trapped. I'm like, I need to tell this kid to fuck off. But like, also maybe I could get arrested for that too. I don't know.
That's awkward. Now, I mean, yeah. I've had the swinger couple, you know, afterwards. Yeah. That's happened more than once, which is weird. I've got a funny story. I always tell people about that. You know, there was a show I was doing. This big redneck dude was running his mouth, but he was heckling, but he wouldn't like too bad. You know,
right.
It was enough to where I kept him at bay and mm-hmm. I'd make fun of him and he was too much of a dumbass to realize I was making fun of him, but everybody else knew.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was fun. But anyways, afterwards, after the show, you know, he came up and he was like, "Hey, you want to come home with me and my, you know," and I was like, "No, I'm all right. No. My wife's over here selling shirts, you know,
right.
She wouldn't like that."
Yeah.
And,
I'm going to ride home. So.
but then he goes over and buys 12 shirts. He was so drunk.
Oh my God. Yeah, hey, there you go. That's rent for a month. Oh my God.
Yeah, we screwed him one way or another. So
right.
There you go. So, no, I'm just kidding. But 12 shirts, I don't know what the hell he was doing with 12 shirts.
Oh my God. 12 shirts on like what, $20, $25 a pop? That's great. Oh my God. I sold 2 shirts the other night. I had like $50 and I'm like, oh, I can go up, like buy a couple of beers, maybe buy my friend a drink. I felt so rich.
But yeah, that I've got, You never know what's going to happen. And you always have to talk to people after the show. Of
you
course,
all,
you
and
should
that's
want
kind of
to.
what, and that's what I wanted to. I wanted to like try and salvage some of this night. I'm like, this was such a bad show, but maybe if we talk to them, talk to the people that did come, it won't be that bad. And then it just got so much worse.
That's funny. That's
Oh,
totally.
God.
Well, okay. Let's do this. I got to do this.
Yeah.
I almost forgot, Courtney.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if I got it here, hold on. Every guest on the Abracadam podcast gets to see a magic trick.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yes. And I'm going to try to read your mind. I'm
Okay.
gonna try to, that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to read your mind. Let me see if I can do this. Okay. Let me move some cards here. Miss Courtney Warner.
Yes.
I've got five cards. I'm going to make sure you can see them, though, because it's I've got some playing cards here. I want you
Yeah.
to think of one of these cards. Just think of it. Don't say it.
Okay.
Just think it. You got it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You get the card in there. Okay. Don't forget the card, because if you do, I sound like a even more of a dumbass. Okay. I'm going to lose the cards in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to cut the deck. Let me give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it'll go, but I'm going to try my best. All right. I've cut the deck right here. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm obligated. I can't get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Even if I tried, I can't get out of this.
Yeah.
But I've cut the deck in one spot. Courtney Warner, for the first time, will you let the Abracadam listeners know the card you're only thinking of?
Yeah. Two of spades.
The two of spades. Now, I said I cut the deck right here
yeah.
To one card only.
Holy shit, dude. What the fuck? What? The
two of spades. You
Damn.
Have been Abracadammed, girl.
That's so cool. I love practical magic. I think it's so cool.
Ooh.
God, that's awesome.
There we go. I'm telling you, it's the devil. No.
Yeah, it is.
I sold my soul, that and for red hair.
Yeah.
I had to have those things and never be adopted.
Right. Yes.
No one ever wanted me. But well, I tell you this, Courtney, this has been fun. I love talking
yes.
to you. And actually, we need to talk more. Really, we do.
Yeah,
we need to talk.
We do.
I need to get your number before we get off here. When we do get off here, we won't put your number on the podcast.
Yeah, we don't have to dox me.
We don't want any more stalker kids.
No,
showing up.
Yeah,
want
no
more
children.
Children.
No
I
kids. I
kids.
Don't want kids. at all.
But let's do this because we did talk about the album. But once again, let people know where they can learn more about Courtney Warner. Where they can see Courtney Warner and where they can listen to Courtney Warner.
Yes, absolutely. So all of my social media is Courtney Warner 13, and that's Courtney with no U and Warner like Warner Brothers and then the number 13. I'm most active on Instagram. I also have a website, CourtneyWarner.com, where I haven't updated that in a while, but if you have any questions like about merch or whatever, you can usually go on there and that's a little easier for me to funnel through. You can see Pointy Boys on YouTube. Just look up Courtney Warner or Pointy Boys is better to look up. And then you can listen to it on Spotify and Apple Music on Courtney Warner or under Courtney Warner and Bedfire Label, which is the record label I'm on. I would love that support. Please just let me know what y'all think of it. And I have one more show for the rest of the year, and that's going to be tomorrow. So it's not going to be helpful to any of the listeners, but it's tomorrow. But it's a big one. It's tomorrow at Third Man Records, Jack White's record label, and like at his venue. I'm so excited. We're doing a variety show there, raising money for Abortion Care Tennessee. So doing that. That's pretty much it. Just please listen to and watch Pointy Boys. My whole life depends on it. My self-esteem depends on it. Please.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to listen to it. Pointy Boys on YouTube. Courtney Warner, the very funny Courtney. Thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam. This has been a blast.
Oh, Danny, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with stand-up comedian Courtney Warner. Guys, I should address this at the beginning of the episode. I'm so sorry. You probably noticed some of the shows and stuff we had talked about in this, you know, episode has already passed, a little dated, because that's because I did record this a few months back. But still, nonetheless, hey, you know, you still learned about Courtney. You know to go check her out. Check out her special, Pointy Boys, on YouTube. It's funny. You will laugh, I promise. Thank you guys so much. And if you have not done so, like always, be sure to subscribe and follow the Abracadam Podcast for more episodes. I do have a few more coming out, so just keep hanging around. And once again, like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Please stop drinking vodka at my kid's birthday party!